The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. EDT on Sunday, September 8th, 2019. And thanks for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. I also want to give a special welcome to one of our regulars in the chat room who is a giant help to me while we're doing the show. Joan, thanks for joining us. As she mentioned, it's that time again. Okay, tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 13. After tonight, there will be 3 episodes left in Season 5. Season 5 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with the first 8 episodes having run until July 21st, after the mid-season finale, Fear Una went a short break. The back half of the season is expected to run its Season 5 finale on September 29th, ahead of The Walking Dead's expected October 6th Season 10 premiere. Typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Call in to speak with the hosts if you'd like at 914-338-0314 at any time, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. if you can. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. I usually post the links for that on our Facebook page as well as my own Facebook profile and Twitter account. There are the links. You can't see them, but hopefully you've seen them and that's how you're here. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go to each episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. I'm going to check and see if Joan's got anything to say. Nothing further, so let's go. Episode 13 is called Leave What You Don't. The official AMC synopsis is Logan's motives are revealed. Sarah, Dwight, and Luciana negotiate for the sake of the mission. Meanwhile, Strand and Alicia race to the aid of a new survivor in a familiar place. A dangerous threat emerges. And as we often do, we have additional synopses from various websites that cover the show. And I pulled the first one up for you. It is from Fansided at undeadwalking.com. And this is by Sarah Beth Pollock. It was written yesterday. And Sarah Beth says, Logan arrives at the oil fields as Alicia and Strand find themselves in oddly familiar territory in this week's all-new episode of Fear the Walking Dead. Leave What You Don't finally gives fans a closer look at Logan and his motives. He has been an odd duck thus far. He tricked the group into flying across the Texas landscape in order to lure them away from Polar Bear's denim factory. We didn't know it at the time, of course, but he had been looking for Clayton's journals in hopes that they led to the oil fields. They didn't. That led Logan to try and play nice with Morgan and the rest of the group, and Sarah revealed that they left old Logie high and dry several hundred miles away. This made him very angry, of course, and now he's focused on revenge and finding the oil. But what could a guy like Logan need with the oil? Sure, he says he doesn't want to walk around, but there has to be more to it. Meanwhile, Alicia's healing process continues as she paints trees on the sides of roads. For her, it's more than catharsis as she tries to send messages to people in need. This week, it could finally pay off. And then they have the synopsis, which I've already read you. And so I'm not going to read that again, but I'm going to switch over to my notes and pull up the second synopsis while we're doing that. And the title of the second one, trying to get my copy to work. Oops, did something funny here. Let me undo whatever the heck that was. Okay, let's try that again. I want to copy this link, not freak out my notes. Copy. Okay, so it's Survival of the Fittest in Fear of the Walking Dead 513 preview. And this is also... Pardon me. This is not from Undead Walking. This is from comicbook.com. And Cameron Bolomono, who is also a frequent writer about this series for that particular source. And this was written September 1st, but I'm just getting around to it now. Alrighty. Sunday's Nurtamid ended with Logan and Doris discovering the lonesome quarry, site of the oil field so desperately sought after by Logan and his gang. Quote, "We're about to buy ourselves a ticket to the promised land," Logan says before ramming his truck into its gates. Despite leading a gang of heavily armed thugs like Raleigh, who has already emerged as a personal nemesis for Dwight, mostly easygoing Logan isn't a conventional villain, quote unquote, Frewer told the AMC blog, and that's Matt Frewer, who is the actor who plays Logan. And he continues, quote, "He's morally ambiguous, but what he says makes a lot of practical sense. The factory is his, and it's his stuff," Frewer says of the base of operations once shared with Polar Bear, played by Stephen Henderson. Quote, "As far as playing the character goes, I saw an opportunity to play someone who's unsettling for the audience. The audience may question how they feel about him and whether they like him or not. It's an ambiguity that makes you a little nervous to be around. I was really excited to play that. Particularly in his dealings," this is the end of the quote. "Particularly in his dealings with the nonviolent Morgan, Logan," quote, "knows what buttons to push," Frewer continued. "He's very manipulative, but this is someone who sees the bigger picture." And what is that bigger picture for Logan? Quote, "He's part of a team where he's brokering and facilitating the oil and the oil supply for a larger syndicate," Frewer said. "He could become an officer in that scheme, but in the short term, he realizes that lives may be lost, and it is to serve the greater good. At a certain point, his day-to-day survival depends on putting that aside and not offering hope, which is what Morgan's group lives and breathes." It's interesting. That quote was said by Matt Frewer. I'm not sure if I'm understanding it right, but it kind of struck me as a little bit of a spoiler, but it was permitted to be out in promotional materials, so I'm a bit confused what all this means. Anyway, spotted in the trailer is a gang riding horseback, a development that will introduce even more new characters to the series following the addition of Rabbi Jacob Kestner, Peter Jacobson. So my understanding is that Rabbi Kestner was not a one-off for that one episode, Nurtamid, last week. So they may be around again, and not really sure what all is up with that. Okay. I am going to pull up the third article, which has a synopsis, sort of a synopsis for you. Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Leave What You Don't. Logan forces our heroes to play defense. And this particular synopsis is from BleedingCool.com and Ray Fluke, and that was written on September 2nd. If you're a fan of the Walking Dead universe, things are pretty sweet right now. You know what? It's weird. He keeps writing new stuff, and he keeps starting with the same damn thing about San Diego Comic-Con, and I keep falling for it. Now I realize he does that. Ray, cut it out. Get rid of that. Just write the meat and potatoes of this week's stuff, like why I'm here. Okay. Last episode definitely had some highs and lows for our folks. We got to meet Peter Jacobson's Rabbi Jacob Kestner. June realized she's been pushing things too much before it was too late. Dory got to shift into zombie movie action hero mode. Dwight opened up about his time post The Walking Dead and pre Fear the Walking Dead. And we find out Sarah's Jewish and her last name is Rabinowitz. On the bad side, Charlie put the group in a bunch of unnecessary danger while Althea's tapes prove useful for the wrong people. Logan and his crew end the episode outside of a quarry, the location of the oil fields. Which brings us to this week's episode, upcoming Leave What You Don't, and the following preview and promo. As Alicia, Strand, June, and Dory having to divide their resources between a number of, quote, red flag locations, and with Morgan and Althea still out of range, the timing couldn't be worse. And the rest of this is just trailers and promos and stuff that you guys can't see, so I can't read that to you. So we will move on. I'm going to pop over and see what Joan has to say, if anything. Oh, yes. Joan agrees that seemed a bit spoilery to me, too. And I want to apologize to our listeners because it is typically our policy not to do that. But I do want to say in my defense that that came from a Walking Dead actor. And I assume Matt Frewer, like every other Walking Dead actor, is given rules about what he may say and what he may not in official materials. So I assume this was sanctioned, and that's all I can say. A bit spoilery, not a traditional, but at least it wasn't cheat spoilery, like somebody actually getting a spoiler by snooping around or something. I try not to even read those on the air if I find them. Okay, it is 8:42. We have plenty of time, so let's get some stuff going here. Cast birthdays this week. We have two. Maximiliano Hernandez, who played Bob Campson, who was a Grady cop, is born on September 12th, coming this week, and he is from Brooklyn, New York. And Andy Lincoln, who is actually Andrew James Clatterbuck, who played Rick, his birthday is September 14th, and he is from London. So let's give them some birthday applause. Thank you, guys. Deep appreciation for all of your work on the show. Okay, tonight's episode was written by Ashley Cardiff and Nick Bernadoni and directed by Daisy Mayer. And it's bio time on these guys. Let's see who's the hand upside the puppet's bottom. So Ashley Cardiff is a writer from Northern California, and as a strange child, and this is from her website bio, she wrote a 600-page quest fantasy novel about a dragon planet, built an Ewok to scale out of chicken wire, and taught herself to play an entire level of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 blindfolded, using the music as cues. People often say, that makes sense, when she tells them she homeschooled. After a few glorious years working at an indie comic bookstore, Cardiff attended St. John's College, where she added translating ancient Greek to an already dubious skill set. Although I think it's kind of a cool skill set, not that you guys asked me. Upon obtaining a complicated sounding degree that amounts to reads books and talks about them, she worked at New York's beloved science fiction and fantasy imprint Tor/Forge before moving to Los Angeles to become a screenwriter. In a 2013 Rumpus interview, they mentioned her first book, Night Terrors, Sex, Dating, Puberty, and Other Alarming Things, a collection of essays and ruminations on sex and sexuality. That was just published in 2013. From 2014 to 2018, she wrote for Marty Noxon of Buffy fame's created series, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, as story editor for 8 episodes, with written by credit for 2 episodes, and 1 episode with both credits for a total of 11 that she worked on. She's currently delighted to spend her days talking about zombies and cowboys at Fear the Walking Dead. In IMDb, she's listed as an executive story editor for 10 episodes of season 5 of Fear, 1 through 10, plus 16, minus episodes 11 through 15. She's not credited for that. Tonight is her second time writing an actual episode within the Walking Dead franchise, the first being Season 5, Episode 3 of Fear, which was Humbug Gulch. She was the writer for that. And her partner in crime, Nick Bernadoni. Nick Bernadone was born on July 15th in Brooklyn, New York. He's known for his work on The Walking Dead Red Machete in 2017, 30 Rock, The Webisodes, 2008, and Bromos in 2009. He's the writer and producer of the Walking Dead web series Red Machete. Bernadone's had 6 nominations and 1 award win. From the Writers Guild of America, 2018 and 19, he had noms for Red Machete. In the PGA Awards, he was a winner of the 2013 Outstanding Digital Series for 30 Rock the Webisodes. Primetime Emmy Awards noms, 2012 and 2013, he got 2 for 30 Rock, and 2018 for Red Machete. Bernadone has also held various crew positions on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Bloodline, Saturday Night Live, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and more. He has 7 producer credits aside from Red Machete, and 7 writer's credits outside of Red Machete. He also has 6 actor's credits since 2010 and 2 director's credits. He worked as a script coordinator for 26 episodes of seasons 7 and 8 of The Walking Dead Classic, and 13 episodes of seasons 4 and 5 of Fear. Tonight is his first time writing an episode for The Walking Dead or for Fear. And director Daisy Mayer. Daisy von Schlerler Mayer, S-C-H-E-R-L-E-R, sorry Daisy, I'm trying, was born on September 14, 1966 in New York City. She's a director and writer known for Madeline, 98, Party Girl, 95, which her mother was in, and Halt and Catch Fire in 2014. She's married to David Carbonara, who's a soundtrack composer for Mad Men. They have 2 children. Her mother, Sasha von Schlerler, started in soaps and was in the movie Network in 76 and other movies later. Her father, Paul Avila Mayer, wrote for numerous soaps. That's probably how her parents met. She has previously directed episodes for over 40 shows, including Mad Men, Nurse Jackie, Orange is the New Black, and Halt and Catch Fire. Tonight is her third time directing anything in the Walking Dead franchise. The first was Walking Dead Classic Season 9, Episode 2, The Bridge, in 2018. The second was Fear, Season 4, Episode 6, Just in Case. And the third is directing tonight's episode. So let's give them some applause for having worked on the show. Thank you, guys. It's 8:48. So let's go ahead and go down to trivia and see what we can knock out. So tonight's episode will be the 66th episode of the series overall. Co-stars are listed as Michaela Gibson as Doris, Corey Hart as Raleigh, Peggy Schott as Tess. She's in Morgan's group. That's the lady in the bomb house whose son needed asthma meds. Apparently she's becoming a regular fixture. And Bo Smith as Dom, D-O-M, who lives in Tanktown. Uncredited actors. There is an unknown, unnamed actor playing a character named Pete who lives in Tanktown. There's an unknown actor as Serena tonight. It is a character on the show tonight that is not explained. She is they haven't said whose group she's with or how we're going to run into her. And sometimes they do that because the character's presence is a plot point. So I can only assume we'll find out in about a half an hour, roughly. Okay. Other uncredited. Trenton Rostedt as Logan's crew member. Alex Yee is Logan's crew member, and Chris V. Brown as Virginia's soldier. Trivia, first appearance of Virginia, commonly referred to as Ginny, played by Colby Minifee. And Virginia is a leader of her own little group. It's first appearance of Virginia's group tonight. First appearance of Pete, actor is uncredited. First appearance of Dom, as I mentioned above. And first appearance of Serena. Trivia from last episode. Uncredited actors. I'm going to mention Trenton Rostedt again because despite having a line and you're still here, that he remains uncredited. That is unusual. That's abnormal. Not sure why. He has 32 acting credits in IMDb, all pretty much bit parts as a named extra in various series. He will next appear as Deputy Dalton in the pilot of a new series due out this fall called Lovecraft Country. Uncredited from last episode. Luis John Soria as Philippe, Daniel Cox Narinda Pennington, Amanda Marie Wilkinson, Rachel Brown, and Carlos Pena as caravan survivors. Flynn O'Connor as a caravan survivor, and also he played a congregation member. McKinley Manning, Stephanie Sullivan, and Rhiannon Gregg are also congregation members from last episode. Deaths from last episode, 23 unnamed congregation members, and many unnamed congregation members are alive, confirmed fate. I assume that means they're walking around as walkers when they say alive. Okay, trivia from last episode. First appearance of Jacob Kester, first appearance of Tent Town. First and last appearance of Temple B'nai Israel. Nir Tamid translates to eternal light, which hangs above the ark in a synagogue. It is often associated with the menorah, the seven-branched lamp which stood in front of the temple in Jerusalem. This episode confirms that there are currently 36 people in the caravan. Sarah's last name is revealed to be Rabinowitz. She is also confirmed to be Jewish. There are no goofs, errors, bloopers listed from last episode. It's 8:51. Let's continue. No featured music mentioned from last episode. Unaccounted characters we are skipping. Talking Dead not on until September 9th, which is finale weekend. Checking to see Joan doesn't have anything new. I will keep going. Here is our Fear Season 5 lineup for the rest of the season. Episode 67, otherwise known as Episode 14 for this season, is Today and Tomorrow. Director Sydney Freeland, writer David Johnson, that'll be September 15th. Episode 68, episode 15 of the season, Channel 5. Directors David Barrett, writers are Samir Mehta and Michael Alimo, and that's September 22nd. And season finale, episode 69, otherwise episode 16 of this season, End of the Line. Director is Satro. Writers are Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, showrunners, and that's September 29th. The following weekend, we will pick up with Walking Dead Classic, Season 10, Episode 1. Other shows coming up on NDB Media include Wednesday, the 18th of September, the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, Episode 76, is ADHD a misnomer, Part 3 of 3. I know last time I told y'all it was Part 2 of 2, and we ran over time. There's a lot to say on this topic that people have been interested in. I've been very reluctant to trim the material because it has been helping people and we've been answering a lot of questions on the air. So at any rate, I hope you'll join us in about a week and a half and then you can pick up the last of that. And also please don't forget to rejoin us next Sunday, September 8th. No, not next September 8th, excuse me. 8 and 7 is 15, so September 15th. At 8:30 p.m. for Season 5, Episode 14, Today and Tomorrow. All right, and let's see. It's 8:53, and we're actually down to our discussion links, which makes me super happy. I'm going to pull up an article, and I may start on it for you guys. Let me see how we're doing with this. I'm not sure what this link is. I just pulled up. I may have pulled it up by accident, but that's fine. Okay, so I had tried to read you this article once before, and we ran out of time, so I just said I'm going to go back to it and read the whole thing again, because there would be too much space between the last time we talked about it. So this one is from Forbes.com, comes from June of 2019, it was written by Eric Kane, E-R-I-K-K-A-I-N. And he is a senior contributor in the games section of Forbes. But he wrote something called The Biggest Problems with Fear the Walking Dead and Why It Might Be Time to Call It Quits. I'm not reading this because I necessarily agree with him, but it's good to raise points like this for discussion every so often. All right, so 8:54. Let's go ahead and we'll get started on this, then we can continue in between stuff. Okay, he says, there were only two reasons I continue to watch Fear the Walking Dead at this point. First, because I've been reviewing the show since the very first episode and I feel a sense of obligation to continue. Second, because I've grown to care about some of the characters and I want to know what happens in their stories. That second reason has been waning since the new showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg killed off both Nick and Madison in season 4. While new characters were added or brought over from The Walking Dead, none of them have really developed into characters we care about or even really like, with the exception of John Dory. Worse, adding so many new characters while decimating the original cast leaves the show feeling like a totally different show altogether. Here are the main things that are ruining Fear for me in season 5. 1. The writing is so lazy. I'm going to check over here and see if Joan doesn't have anything to add yet, but feel free to jump in if you do have opinions on this stuff. We've got 4 minutes before I'll have to pause. Okay, he says, I'm sorry, but the new showrunners and team of writers working on Fear are bad at what they do. They're constantly trying to be clever. And by the way, guys, I have no idea what Eric is qualified to write. He's a writer for Forbes, and, you know, that's no slouch, but I don't know his background or how he got here. Just saying, since he's going to start ragging on writers, you'd be like, well, who the hell do you think you are? I have no idea. Ask him. Okay. They're constantly trying to be clever, but it always comes off as contrived and hackneyed. This season started off with Alicia Morgan, John, Luciana, Althea, and June crash landing a plane they didn't know how to fly in order to save some strangers who were apparently so far away that they needed a plane to get to them. The guy that knew how to fly a plane, Strand, stayed behind, just because. Now they're stuck and need him to find another plane, which it just so happens belongs to Daniel, the one person in the world who hates Strand the most. What a coincidence. Also, Dwight runs into them in this new area. What a coincidence. How convenient that all these people keep showing up right where our heroes happen to be. Great writing here, folks. Other god-awful bits of writing include John Dory shooting Dwight's hatchet in order to split the bullet and expertly take down 2 zombies with 1 shot. Wow, how clever these writers are. I mean, it would be so boring to have him shoot 1 zombie and then, I don't know, grab the hatchet to kill the second one. That would be much too sensible and lame for a show as creative as Fear. And to be fair, I actually think that was a fair indictment. That trick shot didn't add to the plot. Luciana going outside of the truck stop to check on the radio tower, and then when zombies approach, she tries to shoot them instead of just run back to safety, while doped up on painkillers and recovering from her serious wound during the plane crash. Also possibly valid. Everybody has a damn walkie-talkie. Half the dialogue on this show now consists of various characters talking on walkie-talkies with one another. Sometimes they go, quote, out of range for a bit, which I guess is supposed to create tension. Somehow they have an endless supply of batteries, not to mention cars with full tanks of gas, etc. When John, Dwight, and June are in the Wild West town and the zombies are out front, they ask if there's a way out the back. Apparently the house doesn't have a back door, so they go to the roof. But you can see a great big window at the back of the room they're in. They could have just gone out the window and snuck around the back. This show's producers have zero respect for the audience's intelligence. It's insulting and they should be ashamed. We could keep listing these off, and we could dip into season 4's shockingly awful writing as well, but we'll move along. Okay. Let's go down the page here. Number 2. It is also, let me check my time, 8:59. So we may have to pause number 2. Joan had a couple comments, and I think after I share them, we're going to need to pause. Joan has said, I have to agree with this point about losing interest in the characters after loss of Nick and Madison, particularly Madison. I do agree about that. I think killing both of those characters in the same season and both of those deaths really being shoehorned in there are not a natural consequence of the storyline. I really have to criticize them about that. I don't think either one really had much merit. Joan also says, I wouldn't say always contrive and hackney, but he does have a point with some of the plot points. Also agree with you. And I'm going to pause here, and then we will come back at commercial break number 1. See you in a bit. Okay, guys, it is 9:06, and we are at the first, pardon my hiccups, first break. And I'm actually going to give it a 5-5. Joan is starting on 5. I kind of like the fact that we are getting a little interesting background on Logan, because promotional materials have openly, heavily implied that we're going to find out tonight is about why is Logan the way he is. And so I'm enjoying that we're getting right down to that immediately. So anyway, and we also, now we know who Serena is, but why she wasn't described, because I was correct. Her existence was completely a plot point. And so there you go. All right. While I can, I'm going to go back over to the article I was reading to you guys and see what I can get in before we go back from the break. So, number two, Morgan is ruining fear. This is, you know, according to this guy. One of the central problems with fear since season four, but especially in season four's second half, and now season five, is Morgan. Morgan is almost single-handedly ruining Fear the Walking Dead. I say this as someone who really liked Morgan's character during much of his run on The Walking Dead, right up until he started seeing that dude he killed who kept saying, you know what it is, at which point Morgan became one of the most annoying characters of all time. On Fear, Morgan got a second chance, and at first I was pleasantly surprised. It looked like he and Nick might have a cool relationship, and then Nick was killed off almost instantly. By the second half of season four, with Madison now dead as well, Morgan started becoming the leader. His goal, spanning 8 episodes, was to gather up all the survivors and take them back to Alexandria. When he finally got everyone together and dispatched Martha, that was a lady, you know, she was going to make you stronger, the show's most hilariously awful villain, he changed his mind. And I think that's valid, too. I've never liked the whole thing about Morgan making such a big deal about Alexandria and then just not going. We're just not going. And that's exactly what Eric says. We're not going, he informed everyone after convincing them all to come with him. We're going to stay and help people. And so they stayed and started trying to help people. This is the driving premise for season five, and it is without a doubt the stupidest, least creative excuse for a story I've ever encountered. Morgan's do-goodery is poisoning the show. The tonal shift from gritty and complex to melodrama and rosy optimism. Forgive me, I had to sneeze. Rosy optimism is jarring and unwelcome. We are back. I'll see you at break number two. Okay. It's 9:18. We are at the second break. Joan's at 5:05. I'm at 5:75. And I'm going to go back a little bit. There's a lot of commentary I want to share. First thing she says, as far as the article that we're talking about that I didn't have time to share with you. Actually, it is kind of about the show and it's kind of about the article, both. So she says, I need more backstory before I judge whether this is decent writing yet. Losing one person you were trying to save is not enough to justify the Logan of today. I agree. So hoping for more as the episode progresses. And then she says, oh, look, a walker go around when they have the walkers chasing something in the little boxes and that makes them walk around and generate water power. And then she brings up something real important. Are they refining? Who the heck knew how to do that? I'm guessing Clayton. And she said, did he leave notes? And I actually have no idea. I'm guessing. It's another valid fuss that the guys on this show just keep happening to know how to do complex things. And she agrees. And then she says, how the hell did they end up on their knees? They were at a standoff a minute ago. Also, some foolishness. And then she says, okay, first lesson, don't mess with Sarah when she's on that edge. Yes. Sarah Obinowitz to the rescue. Okay, let's sneak back over to the article. Last little thing in that paragraph. Morgan has changed the show into something it was never supposed to be, and it was a huge, huge mistake to ever cross him over to this show. Okay, part number three. This show was supposed to be about the Clarks. Fear the Walking Dead should not exist without Kim Dickens and Frank Delane, period. These two, along with Alicia Debnam Carey, comprised the Clark family. Madison and her two children, Nick and Alicia, were much like Rick and Carl Grimes in The Walking Dead. It's interesting how he seems to be comfortable with Travis being gone. I don't know what I make of that. But then again, it would be kind of contrived for all of them to have survived. So I guess we'll put it on that. But unlike that show, there aren't enough good characters remaining to keep this one afloat without them. Alicia's a great character, but she's just constantly overshadowed by Morgan. This should be Alicia's story by now, but it isn't. Now she just tags along with Morgan on his stupid crusade. Now remember, this was back in June, so things have changed since then. And it doesn't even fit her character. All their exhausting conversations about redemption and making up for all the bad things they've done, it doesn't fit for Alicia. She hasn't done that many bad things at all. Certainly nothing like Morgan, whose clearing phase made him a pretty serious mass murderer. When Frank Delane asked to leave the showrunner should have made his death the culmination of the entire season. There's not much you can do if an actor wants to leave, but Nick was, as far as I'm concerned, such an important character that his death is almost reason enough to end the show. It's certainly not a good idea to then go and kill the only other character on Fear who was as important to the show. Madison and Nick leaving the show within a 5-episode span, forget about it. Just end the show and start something new. Honestly, at this point, it may as well be a completely new show. It's changed so much and not for the better. Okay. Point number four, God, it's just so boring. Again, may or may not be agreeing, just putting this out here. And I do agree. I think it was a mistake to kill Nick and Madison in the ways that they did. And then to not kill Madison and not use that and bring her back when you really should have. Okay, point four. Even when Fear wasn't great, season one and two, it was still entertaining. Madison and Travis would go places and ruin things for the people they encountered. Strand was a snake, but you kind of wanted to know what he had up his sleeve. Okay, and we are back. I will stop and I'll see you all at break number three. Okay, guys. We are at break number 3 at 9:30, and I'm at level 6 on how I'm rating the show. Jones at 5.75. And let me go back and grab a couple comments from in between the last time. Joan has said she disagrees with the article that it was a mistake for Morgan to cross over, but she agrees that he should not have been made the main lead. It would have been okay with Morgan and Madison even without Nick, or Morgan and Alicia and Strand and Madison. Morgan is equally supporting as the others. And then just shoot him. It doesn't have to be a kill shot. That's what I had hoped. They should have nicked him, because getting medical attention is hard. I had personally hoped that Morgan was going to be a plot twist to tie in Madison to Rick when he showed up, because there had been rumors that Madison was a relative of Rick somehow. And I know that was a fan rumor, not necessarily supported by AMC, but nevertheless. So Jonas said, yeah, I'm missing both Madison and Rick right about now. They would both know when to negotiate and when to do what needs to be done. Agree. Okay, betting time, I said. Logan works somehow for Isabel's agency, like not directly, not like she does. But I believe that the gasoline is for them, and that's what the urgency is. And that's when they brought that damn plot up early in the season, and then magically stopped talking about it, which I think is shitty writing. You know, it's one thing to hide your story so that we forget and not, you know, give it away too much. But I think to completely abandon it and not even allude to it, and then all of a sudden, just wham, here it is. They've been doing too much of that, and it's kind of making the stories ham-fisted. I think they need to have a corner over here where Isabel's people are doing a thing for a minute or something. But that's my opinion. Joan seems to think I might be onto something as well. Okay, so I'm at 6, she's 5.75, and she says, this whole I am who I am because of your actions, blah, 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 consequences is weak. Yes, it is weak sauce, Logan. Stupid answer. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so we were talking about how fear was being boring. Nick was always on the verge of slipping back into drug addiction. Alicia was young and naive, but you could see her growing up and getting smart. Madison was manipulative and cutthroat. Travis was always trying to do the right thing. Daniel was the smartest, toughest dude in either Fear or The Walking Dead. And especially in season 3, he really became one of the coolest characters in either show. I remember at the time thinking if he were an Alexander, he would have put a bullet in Negan's skull and saved us season 7 and 8. Kind of agree. There were cool conflicts through all 3 seasons, and even when I found myself massively annoyed with where season 2 eventually went, I was still invested in the characters, and season 3 happened. And it was fantastic from start to finish, have to agree. It was way better than what The Walking Dead was cooking up at the time. Now it's just so boring. Every episode is a dud. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm fully ready to go there. But there are little sprinkles of fun action, but mostly it's just bad dialogue, contrived conflict, and nothing really happens even when stuff is happening. I just don't care about any of these characters either. Alicia is hardly even herself anymore. Luciana should have been killed off last season. She's nothing like she was when we met her in season 2. Talk about a cool, tough character and slowly dismantling everything interesting and good about them. Strand has always been irritating to me, but at least when he was really scheming all the time, he was a wild card. Now he's just another Morganified do-gooder, and it sucks. Okay, I think we are about to go back, so I'm going to wait just a second. And correct. All right, we'll see you guys at break number 5. For some reason, I ended up getting muted again. I'm not sure what happened to the board, but hopefully you can hear me now, Joan. I have been talking, but it's possible that none of that came out. I finished off the article, and now I don't know if I should go back. But the Walking Dead password, by the way, is motives. It's 9:43. I'm not sure if I should go. Joan, would you like me to finish the article, or should I not bother? I'm going to leave that one up to you, since you are in the chat. And let me know what you think. Let me see. I don't know if she can hear me. Can you hear me now? Okay, so now she can hear me. And hopefully she can let me know if she would like me to go back and finish the article. But we are back. So I'll see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, we are at break number 6, I think. It's 9:50. I'm at 6:05, Joan's at 6. And she had said that she didn't hear the rest of the article. By the way, in case you did not hear me before, the Walking Dead rewards word is motives, plural. She said, "What about Alicia and Strand will save this one at the same time as same truck stop Logan failed?" And she said, "Oh, okay, maybe not, or spoke too soon." It was kind of nice that, you know, Wes got involved after Alicia believed in him. Whatever, fine. I do have to say something. You know, I like happy endings, but that's not really necessarily why I watch this show. And I kind of, I don't know. Once in a while, I would like this to just not be you know what? I don't even know what I'm saying here. Once in a while, I would like Wes not to show up when they're looking or not happen to know stuff. There's too many convenient things going on. And Jonah says, "We're better than this world. Attitude is getting really stale. I applaud it, but it's not practical." I don't know. I think it is practical, but I don't think it's realistic. I think that in order for us to keep going as a species, we're going to need to pull that attitude out of our asses somewhere. But the thing of it is, it's very difficult to maintain those under the circumstances, but we'll see. Anyhow, I went ahead and finished the article. I mean, we kind of get the gist of it. I don't know that I'm going to go back and read it at this point, to be honest with you. You know, I've kind of made my general point that there are some issues with the show. And they did a decent job of raising what those are. That's pretty much where I was going with it. So there you go. All right, I'm moving that article down so we don't repeat. And we are not back. We're still at commercials at 9:52. How strange. I'm going to pull up another article just in the event that we have more time than I thought. Well, I'll find that really weird. It was from UndeadWalking.com, fansite at UndeadWalking.com. "Will Isabel show up again on Fear the Walking Dead?" That may be a little timely. Sonia Arena 2 months ago, and we're still in a commercial, so I may try to read this to you. "Fear the Walking Dead fans instantly embraced CRM soldier Isabel," and I keep forgetting the name of the damn group, so yes, thank you for that, CRM, "because she didn't kill Althea when she was supposed to, because it seems like she could be a good person caught in a tough situation. It's clear that she does believe in whatever CRM's mission is, because she did kill her partner when there was a chance that her partner would threaten operational security. But she also seemed to understand Al's drive to make the stories of the past matter and to try and make sense of what the world has become. She really seemed conflicted about telling Al more about the mission of the mystery group. But in the end, all she revealed was the group is very dangerous and they're working on building the future. Her warnings to Al to leave the story alone indicate that the group doesn't want anyone getting too close to finding out what they're doing, where they're located, or what they know. That makes sense, considering the people left in the world aren't always friendly. But this group obviously has a lot of equipment and resources, so why are they so scared of anyone finding them or finding out what they're doing? I'll take a chance and answer that, because watch all the plots of Walking Dead Classic and Fear, and look how ordinary people fuck all that stuff up, because they don't understand the big picture. I'm just saying, that's a great reason not to reveal it, because people who are not with the program are going to get in there and do their own thing and make a mess. Okay, article says, "In the end, Isabel, who should have killed Al for operational security, couldn't kill her. The two went their separate ways, and Isabel got the helicopter flying and headed back to CRM. Will we see Isabel in Fear the Walking Dead again? Our panel has some thoughts." Okay, this is a panel vote thing. We are back. I'll see you guys at the end break, probably. Okay, guys, it's 10 out of 5. I'm ending on 6-2-5 Jones, ending on a 6. Comments from the last time. She says, I've got nothing against groups sticking together for survival, but this idea that they can help people who don't want their help and even go so far as to want to harm them is annoying. I actually lost a little track by, you know, like what you mean by that, if you don't mind re-explaining. She adds, help you can by all means. And trying to get out, girl. I bet she was with the helicopter people. I wonder. Maybe. Maybe not. And so much for Logan. So, huge spoiler, although if you've listened to the episode all the way to this part, you already probably know. Virginia's group apparently was who created the giant emergency about the gas. I'm not clear what that emergency and that deal was that has Logan sweating so hard, but she put an end to that deal because it wasn't going how she wanted. So there you go with that. I guess we'll find out more next week. I also noticed, Jonah's also mentioned, I'm almost ready for them to all just go shoot each other and start with a whole new cast. I'm getting about to that point, honestly. It's not that I hate the current cast. That's not my point. It's more just like I'm not invested in it. And I kind of understand how Eric, what's his name, feels. Okay, so I just want to point out one more thing. John, I don't know if you noticed. When they were leaving, they took 3 vehicles. And the kids were in none of them. They had the giant tanker and a little brownish khaki-colored sedan and a blue pickup truck. And that's not enough. Vehicles for even all the adults. Never mind the kids. And I don't know. The whole thing is weird. But at any rate, you know, we're going to stick with it and we're going to be talking about it and trying to help our viewers through it. And that's what we're about. And we appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us every week and doing that. Joe says, they seem intent not only helping but converting them as well. Converting them to helping other people, I guess. Well, okay, that's fair. Yeah, it's one thing to help. But then they kind of want them to join their merry band of savers and whatever. I don't want to say saviors because Negan, but anyhow. All right, so thank you for sticking with us and with the show. And we will see you guys next weekend for episode 14, which is today and tomorrow. That will be September 15th. Same bat time, same bat channel. And hope to see you all then. Thank you, Joan, for everything. See you guys next weekend.